Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's show on Accomplish Radio. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the CEO and founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference. We're so excited you have joined us today, and you're going to get a chance to meet a friend of mine who has just built an incredible business and has published a new book called Becoming the Perfect Networker. And I'm so excited that we have gone to weekday programming every morning at 9, 10 Central. And so we're excited to have people joining us from all over the world. In fact, we are now getting thousands of listeners to our show. I'm amazed at how quickly that things get out when you have a large network. And, of course, today's guest is all about building a network. And I want to introduce you to him. His name is Ken Roshan, and he is the founder of Perfect Networker and Perfect World Networking. And after 27 years, yes? I'm sorry, after 27
years. How are you,
Darlene? I'm doing great, Ken. I was just going to introduce you real quick. So I just wanted to let people know who I'm talking with, and very excited you're with us today. So let me go ahead and introduce you so that people know who you are. You're absolutely amazing, and they need to know all that you've accomplished. So today he's joining us, I believe, from the Washington, D.C. area. He's a published author, a world traveler, a groundbreaking global fusion DJ for his company, Absolute Entertainment. He's the co-host of Team Radio, co-star of a brand-new local reality show, Goodfellas of Baltimore, and the visionary builder and part owner of the Perfect Networker and the budding online empire called Perfect World Networking. And definitely he is one of the most connected men that I've met in a long time. He loves to help and support people locally in his community and from around the world. So, and he definitely is very proud of the Perfect World Networking program that he has created. I can't wait to learn more about that in our interview here today. And it's an online network that allows nonprofit leaders to connect and support each other's work. Through the network, leaders can cross-promote events, benefits, and fundraisers to their memberships, boost traffic to each other's websites, and attract new memberships and build their volume of all their network, and, of course, find volunteers that might want to participate. And Perfect World Networking is just the next logical step from his earlier venture, The Perfect Networker, which is a by-invitation-only community that offers members opportunities to share ideas, refer business, generate support for products and projects, and otherwise support each other in their overall success, both online and offline. Welcome to our show today, Ken. It's amazing that we were able to connect and get a chance to talk here. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Darlene. I was so excited to be here. I was like, just scrub the introduction. Let's just get to talking.
Well, you know, I love having conversations with people, and I'm, you know, just looking forward to our time together on Accomplish Radio today. And, you know, we're just going to, you know, have a open dialogue here. You know, I'll ask you a few questions, and, you know, I really want to hear your story. And, my gosh, the things that you have accomplished, I'm just blown away by. And so out of all the things that you've put together, I mean, what's right now, what do you think is one of your biggest accomplishments that you're you're the most proud of? Let's talk about that.
I would say PerfectNetworker.com would be the one I'm most proud of because it's had the most obstacles. We talked last week about things that hold you back from being successful and how you overcome them, and that has been a technical nightmare at times. I'm not a technical person, and I enjoy what technology does for us, but I would have to say that jumping into an industry where a social network, and I understand it from a consumer standpoint or an online marketing person, but actually the programming and coding, it's very difficult and challenging.
I can imagine. Yeah, I love being technical myself. I should be one of those, I'm kind of a computer geek, so it's like if there's something in front of me, I'll figure it out. And I originally went to college for computer programming, which you didn't know that about me, did you, Ken? I was like, come on. I don't look like a computer programmer, do I?
I don't know. I don't think I do either. I went to college for it too, and it ate me up. So I decided I would go into something else.
Well, I realized, you know what? I'm a people person, and so are you.
Exactly.
And you know, it's like it's more fun to be connected with people out there and to talk about what their accomplishments are. But so building the Perfect Networker program and website. Now, how long has that been around for? Has that been? I know it's been a few years because I've been a member for a while.
Yeah, we're past our 2 year mark. It was May 15th 2 years ago that we launched the site, and we are very close to launching another platform, which will be that much more exciting. It's going to have some applications that are a little more automated. For instance, if you want to sign up for a quote unquote like perfectmatch.com experience, you'd be linked on meta tags in your profile. I think you recall that our three main questions are who I am, what I do, and what I want. We want to focus on the what I want part and how to match you with people that would actually help you accomplish those wants.
Ooh, I really like that. That concept is kind of missing out there in the whole social networking platform. You know, you get involved with a lot of different groups and, you know, you connect online, and but yet you're still networking, you know, per se, like if we were in person networking. And you know, I'm just curious, what is it that what started you thinking, you know what, we need to build a different platform, we need to have, you know, what made you think that you had to bring this kind of a network to life?
I think the world of social networking isn't really built for true networking to occur. Facebook is, you know, a phenomenal site for reconnecting with your past, and I applaud them in making a site that's, you know, number two in the world. And I get so much joy out of connecting with friends and my clients. For instance, all my clients are on Facebook. I mean, if you go to a party and you say, hey, let's connect, I mean, the word Facebook comes very close after that. Like, let me Facebook you or I'll hook up on Facebook.
It's a household name now, isn't it?
it is, but it's not a networking platform. And, you know, that's not the business they try to get into. You're actually penalized if you connect with too many people at either too quick a pace or to people that you don't know. They have kind of a back end red flag aspect to the coding that lets you know, hey, you're not behaving correctly. And you know, you and I would not know each other had the platform been, I can't talk to you, Darlene, unless I know you.
Mm-hmm.
So on Perfect Networker, you were introduced to Perfect Networker through Joe High, phenomenal networker. And he contributed to you, brought you to Perfect Networker, and next thing you knew, you know, you were getting conversations with people you'd never met before. But that platform is set up for, hey, if you are invited to Perfect Networker, you must be someone that knows the contribution to other people's success is vital for everyone to succeed. And so people came out of the woodwork and said, welcomed you and maybe wished you happy birthday, but they were in a conversation of how can they help you. And that is not the type of conversation nor the type of encouragement that I found on LinkedIn, Facebook, or any other platform.
That's true. You know, and there's something to be said about when you're on Facebook, the behavior and the, you know, what's acceptable, what you can do on Facebook, what you can't do on Facebook, and, you know, and they have all those algorithms and all those things that they track to see and monitor your activity of what you're actually
right.
doing. And it's behind-the-scenes things that most people aren't aware of. And, you know, of course, everyone does try, you know, to do that. But here's the big difference that I have found in PerfectNetworker.com versus Facebook, and that is it's permission-based. Everybody wants to know the information, whereas on, you know, Facebook, you know, if you're promoting your, you know, your products and services and things like that, and it's okay to share that with your network on Facebook, but they're not asking for it, you know. A Perfect Networker, they want to know. And that's a huge, you know, difference. And I think that when you become a member of Perfect Networker, you really get up close and personal with a lot of the people that are there because they're genuinely wanting to know, what is it you do? How can I help support you? What are you looking for next? And vice versa. I love how you had, I remember in the very beginning, when I had joined Perfect Networker. I was one of your ambassadors. I believe you called them ambassadors.
Yeah.
And I used to welcome people to the Perfect Networker, new members, and I love that personal touch that was there. And you want to tell me a little bit more about how you're managing that? I mean, is that something that
Sure.
you still
It's
do?
Still it's still alive. It's a little more in the background. Our new platform is going to kick that up so that our ambassador program can actually multiply for people that want to just be an ambassador. They can actually sign on for certain periods of time and welcome people. I found that when I joined LinkedIn, which was probably one of the first social platforms I joined, probably, I think it's 5 years ago, and I was so lost. I mean, I was overwhelmed with the technology. It was definitely not too many people knew about LinkedIn back then, and I felt very alone, and I didn't have anyone that I knew anywhere in my network that had been on LinkedIn or was mastering LinkedIn. So I spent about 2 weeks on it as much as I possibly could to learn the intricacies, but no one welcomed me, and when I invited my network to LinkedIn, they didn't know what it was, so I didn't have a great conversion aspect to it. But LinkedIn never said, hey, when you invite your people, we're going to take good care of them, and by the way, we're going to make sure you're a superstar on LinkedIn. All that stuff didn't occur. And so mm-hmm. between that experience and Facebook, I knew that a better platform could be built that was more psychologically shaped to rewarding contribution, but more importantly, educating the type of behavior that would get you success in networking. A lot of people think that, you know, the vomit factor of, hey, let me tell you everything about me and hopefully you'll retain it, you know, someone that can give me business mm-hmm. is not the way it works. And when you go to networking events and you're passing your card out like crazy, you're pretty much wasting your time. It's mm-hmm. better to get cards, listen, go back and solve their problems and only focus on those connections that would help them, and your networking will actually take off on its own.
Go ahead, continue.
I was just going to say, I think you're aware of the book, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg.
Oh, absolutely. He's a good friend of mine. I love Bob. He's awesome. Go ahead.
He is awesome. And he's actually a lot of the philosophy that we incorporated into the Perfect Networker. Is instead of go-giver, we actually made it synonymous that a Perfect Networker is a go-giver. I mean, that's just the lingo. A Perfect Networker contributes to other people's success, period.
You know, what I found, too, is when you're out doing physical networking and, you know, you're getting cards from people and, you know, I've been networking for over 20 years, and, you know, with my brand, Sassy Networker, I go out and I try to assist people and help them become, you know, better at their networking skills. And, you know, one of the things that I have realized is networking in person is wonderful for that physical touch and that personal connection and, you know, getting to see people. And there's still always that warm and fuzzies that you get by reconnecting and seeing people there. And it's okay to still meet, you know, new people there and lots of other things. But I've realized over the past couple of years, the more I've been involved with social networking versus in-person networking, the more I'm realizing how efficient the time is to meet more people and connect with them there. But honestly, if I go to a networking event now, you know, if I get their business card, you know, there's a process that everyone should go through when they're networking after they meet them in person, and, you know, putting them into some sort of system, you know, into a database or, you know, what do they call them, the CRM systems, you know, or, you know, loading them into Outlook or putting them into your ACK database or wherever you put them. But then there's another step, another level of connecting with them on their social networking platforms. And some people don't do that. But see, if you did it online, like within Perfect Networker, it's done automatically. You know, I think that it cuts out some of the back-end stuff where you can literally go there directly and start connecting, start meeting. You know, granted, you're not there physically in person, but words are very powerful, you know, and what you say and what you, you know, send and text one another or email to one another, or, you know, just pick up the phone and set up an appointment to meet them on the phone, if nothing else. So I'm really excited that the Perfect Networker has turned out to be so successful. And, you know, you had shared with me the other day the number of members that you guys are at these days, because when I had started, you know, a few years ago, it was different. So you want to share, like, where you're at right now with that? I think that was a very cool number.
Sure. I'll But I'd also like to comment on a couple of things you just said about when you're going to network and the systems you need to follow. I find it interesting that when I talk to someone, whether it be for 2 minutes or even as high as 20 minutes at a networking event, you're talking about what they want to talk about, obviously, and you're listening, and you're listening for how you can help them. But what I find interesting is when you go back and you either invite them on Perfect Networker or they're on Perfect Networker or you find them on Facebook, what I find is reading their profile and learning about them or what you wanted to learn, maybe their favorite books, what music they like, where they've lived. I cannot believe how many times I've run into someone and it says, oh, their hometown is X, and I'm like, I used to live there, or I was an hour from there, and it all of a sudden brings a background of relatedness that takes the conversation to a very, very comfortable level very quickly. And I found that when you are networking at an offline event and you leave there, a lot of people do the email thing, but emails are being ignored. They're kind of like, oh, passe. It was nice to meet you. I mean, a lot of people don't even respond to that anymore. And what I find is when you're on a social network, the conversation not only stays alive, it comes to more life because you're actually seeing, oh, I didn't know that they know so-and-so. That's a mutual friend. I mean, the mutual friend and mutual connections thing is mind-boggling because it becomes...
I know it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you get back there, and that's when you say, you know Charlie? Oh, my gosh, isn't Charlie awesome? And you have this conversation, and all of a sudden, there's so much trust in the relationship that business can pass, referrals can pass, right like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to comment quickly on that. And as far as, I guess when you joined, I think we were, gosh, budding past a couple thousand members, and we are just knocking at the door of 11,000 members right now. And what's exciting is that with this new platform, we truly believe that our next step is 100,000. It's kind of interesting, but with social networking, there's kind of a viral system that happens. The hardest thing to do is get to 100, and after 100, you just kind of head to 1,000. The next thing you do is you head to 10,000. So our next benchmark is 100,000. We do believe that with the word spreading about what people are getting out of Perfect Networker, that it could conceivably be 100,000 by the end of the year. That is our goal.
You know, if every person were to just go out and invite someone to review it, to look at it, and, you know, I believe that you'd hit that mark very quickly, because the way that networking obviously works is, well, you remember that old commercial on TV, you tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. What was that? What commercial was that? Do you remember?
That was a
shampoo
company. It was like a shampoo.
Prell or something?
Yes, you're right, yes. That was a brilliant campaign, and it showed the little faces getting smaller and smaller, and you saw that viral aspect. And it's just like that equation, would you rather make, you know, $1,000 a month, or would you rather make a penny that doubles? And the answer is you want that penny that doubles, because it's going to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Isn't it like over a million or something like that at the end of 30 days?
Yeah, you're right. It's I think it is a million.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
So you
but, you know.
For me.
So I want to talk to you about your book, because you sent me your book, and I have to tell you, just because you put in all these business cards that you were promoting other companies and businesses inside, I'm like, how cool is that? I get books sent to me all the time, and because I love to review them. I love to talk to, you know, my network about authors, and I love hearing, you know, the success of, you know, I think publishing a book is a huge accomplishment. And, you know, for those of you in our audience that are listening to our show today, if you published a book and you would like for me to review it, you can send it in to me. You can go to accomplishmagazine.com, and you can see the address to mail me your copy of your book, and I will definitely review it and look at it. But this is so unique how it's laid out. I love the pictures. You even put logos in here. It's like you brought your network into Perfect Networker, into this book. And I think that's brilliant. You know, it's becoming the Perfect Networker, succeeding one connection at a time. And I can't believe that this is all together. I remember when you were talking about it, you and I had a conversation, you know, that you would like to have a book out, and we were both talking about getting our books done, and, you know, mine's going to be The Sassy Networker, you know. But anyways, so let's talk about your book for a minute. Tell me why you put this together.
Well, a lot of people were asking me about networking, not only online but offline. And as I was explaining, I was finding out that this content was really needed out there. And I had people saying, hey, you should write a book, or you should get this content, all your blogs that you're doing, you should start wrapping this up and see if a publisher would pick it up. And when I put together all the content, I had a good 50 pages, and I showed it to a writing coach, Mia Redrick, who's our Imperfect Networker, and she says, this is well on its way to being a book. Just you should spend another 2 months and put together a book that's 150 pages. So when it was all said and done, I realized that a lot of people that read books, they see all the words and letters, and they go, this is going to be a lot of work. So I was fortunate enough to have lunch at Donna's here in Columbia, Maryland, and I met this waitress who was a graphic artist, and she didn't have her name out there really for her talent, but I said, I'll go ahead and look at your work. Let me see what you got. And so we met at a bookstore, and I saw her work, and I said, oh, my gosh, you are unbelievably talented. I would love for you to do some illustrations for my book. And as she was cranking them out, I kept adding more orders. I said, well, for this chapter, I want this kind of illustration. It makes the book kind of fly through. I love animations. I like having humor kind of brought to life, and animations fit rather well. So a big hat off to her on making the book that much more enjoyable to read. And it is on Amazon.com. But the book is divided into four sections. The first section is kind of philosophy of success. And the biggest part of the book that I'm proud of is how it starts with a negative one. And the negative one is the Mr. Excuse. And I think it's the only book in the world that actually starts on a negative number. But the reason I started there is because when we had talked about the books we were going to put out, I had been thinking about this since probably, 25 years. I want to write a book someday. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to write about, but I wanted to write a book. And it was never going to happen if I just kept talking about I wanted to. And so I talk about the power of one, how when you see things that need to be done, that you just step into that and you become the power of one and you do it either for yourself or for a community or for someone, but you start taking action. And so this book kind of came to life when I said, I'm not going to want to write a book anymore. I'm actually going to do a book, and I'm going to take my content, I'm going to put it together, I'm going to meet people. And I even flew out to Tennessee. I flew out to New York to meet authors and ask them what their advice would be on how to get a book finished, because a lot of people have books that are in process. But as you stated, getting the book finished is it's like delivering a baby. even though I've never done one, this took 9 months when it was all said and done, of just week in, week out, of writing, rewriting. And I think I went through about four rewrites before I was really satisfied with the level it was at to publish it. Mm-hmm. But even after publishing, I found so many things that could be improved upon that I actually rewrote it one more time and put it out as an e-book, which is available on Kindle and Barnes & Noble. And hope to get a second edition out this fall. And I would love your input, actually, into the book, because the Sassy Network definitely needs to be in the book.
That's cute. A lot of friends of mine are like, going, Sassy Networker, And, I originally created the Sassy Networker when I managed a women's organization, and so it was addressed mostly to women. So since that time, I have branched off and started bringing men into my network more. And but Sassy is actually an acronym I created. It stands for Start Attracting Sweet Success Yourself. Because most people that are out networking are missing that part. They don't know how to attract the business. And so for me, that was the perfect way to just put it out there. No pun intended, I said perfect. You notice how I'm plugging perfect along the way, right?
I really appreciate that.
Well I love you. I mean, you've got so much talent and so much. When I first connected with you, I think you had called me up one day and said, is this the Sassy Networker? And I said, yes. And you go, this is the perfect networker.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
I just think we had so much connection right off the bat. And you were just, you went above and beyond, right off the bat for us to get together and to collaborate and to, partner and become alliance partners right off the bat. And, you were very generous when, I had I think one of my books that was out, I had an e-book on a marketing book that you had said, well, let me put it out there on, on Perfect Networker. And I was like, you would do that? And, when you have a mutual understanding and you like to network together, that kind of brings together your chapter two that talks about the power of two. And you want to share that with me?
Sure. A lot of people feel alone in an economy like this. They feel like the resources are really tapped, and it's amazing that they have a network that's really willing to help them. And when you just say, hey, what are your strengths? These are mine. Could you use any strengths? And you actually work together. I was offering my strengths to the distribution channel, and you had the content. So obviously it was a good match. And I knew that you had the type of content from reading what you'd written on your blogs that I wanted my members to know about it, because the overriding mission on Perfect Networkers is education. It's educating people how to network better. Mm-hmm. So that was the power two. And then the power three is kind of working that mutual friend. For instance, what Joe High had done. My call to you was not really just because you joined Perfect Networkers, because Joe High connected with me. He says, hey, I just introduced someone to Perfect Networker. I really think you need to reach out to her. Read the profile, and he spoke so highly of you. I said, this is someone I really want in my network. I want to know who this person is. I want to see how I can help her. So that was the power three. And then just to kind of round out the first unit, the power four is when we made that call and we talked that day, that added all kinds of energy and opportunity to both of our lives. And the power four is taking what you do in a day that multiplies your income or your network or your opportunity and doing it twice as much. So a lot of people, when they start their day, they may say, oh my gosh, I got a really busy day today. But if they were to analyze what that day is actually doing for them, their network, their family, they might find it's only an hour of their entire day is actually creating income opportunity or future opportunity, I should say, indirect opportunity through certain calls they make. So I've worked really hard to analyze what I'm doing in a day. And instead of working 8 hours or 12 hours or 15, I just try and work that 1 hour. I try and work that two times as hard.
You know, let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, being an entrepreneur and, you know, what I refer to as a multipreneur, like both of us are, you know, we're managing several things, you know. So, you know, when it comes down to, I think you almost have to become a master of your own time, and because you can't accomplish, you know, as much if you're not planning, not taking time to really structure that. And, you know, what you just said to me really resonates, because you took the hour of time to really figure out how to leverage your network. I assume that's kind of what the bottom line was, is leveraging your network.
But it's making those tough calls. I mean, our call today that is an hour that will go to well over 10,000 people in my network and countless people in your network, that call originated from several calls over the last, year and a half? Is that correct? Like, if we talked to the very first... Yeah, but if we talked to the very first time yesterday, we wouldn't be having this conversation now. It would be possibly a year from now. Maybe
right.
6 months from now. And my point is that you got to plant those seeds. And I when I get in front of audiences right now, I literally stand there 5 minutes before I'm going up and I say, what put me here? And I might count actions over a year's time and thousands of actions that I didn't think were related to these actions that could have been. And that's what I'm talking about with that hour. What are you doing to plant your seeds? What are you doing to look at how to produce income a year from now?
Really like that concept.
Yeah, I think it's very powerful. And I have to give some credit to Patrick Ahern. That was one of my powers out of the five that I'd written about. I said, hey, what is I have a first power, second, third, and fifth. Where's the fourth? And he said, dimension of time. And I go, oh, my gosh, that's what Anthony Robbins talked about. He talked about, you know, the incomes we have are typically generated by 5 or 10% of the actual output we do in a day. I mean, almost all of it. And he says if you double what you're doing in that small portion, you'll probably double your income. I mean, he was actually saying he guaranteed it, and I think he was on the mark with that. So.
Yeah, I think he kind of has some ideas of what he's talking about.
And then the fifth power, which actually is, I think, my favorite from a study of a future book, is who we align ourselves with. I think the chapter just basically says the five people, if you were to take their incomes, their health, their political views, their attitudes, their every single thing about them, and you multiply it straight across and divide by five, you are the product of that average. And I've done some I've done some informal studies. I have a background in science, and I was just doing different studies of how it's manipulated. And of course, if you spend way more time with one individual and a lot less time with another individual, that skews the average because you're not spending as much time with the equally with each person. But I did find it interesting that, you know, when I went into my health kick, in my top five, none of them were smokers. Most of them didn't drink. They might drink socially, but all of them went to the gym. All of them participated in sports. And same with political views. I'm an independent, and I noticed that I attracted both Republicans and Democrats into my top five.
Interesting.
Because I wanted to hear both sides.
Wow. You know, that's just an incredible concept because you're right. And, you know, we've heard this before, and lots of people bring this up, that, you know, you're very similar to the top five people that you are around the most, or you resonate with the most, or you are good friends with. And, you know, where we have thousands of people in our network, it's, you know, I don't know if I could have a top five, you know, but...
Well, actually... What I found in the study, though, is that the five moves, as you solve what you need to solve, you might enter a new team of five. It doesn't mean that you're getting rid of all five, but take for instance, last year when I was trying to put this book together, the five people I hung around with all the time were all authors or publishers. I spent all the time I possibly could, and editors. Editors were very, very key.
But yeah.
they consume my time, and I was happy about that because I knew I was going the right pathway with them. They were going to get there. So I didn't hang around with people that were necessarily hitting the gym all the time. I didn't hit it. And as a result, I gained 20 pounds during my 9 months. So, I mean, but you know, when I finished the book, I actually went right back to those several of those people that were more health advocates, and I've reduced most of the weight off. But I found it interesting that five, that when you are growing and your incomes are growing, I mean your income is growing, your goals are growing, that those five continue to either grow with you or they're replaced, period. It's an interesting concept, but I look at where I was 2 or 3 years ago and where I am now, and the people that I'm hanging around with the most, they are real movers and shakers, and they're really helping me think bigger and be more confident.
I love that.
Bigger things.
I love that because, you know, thinking big is definitely part of my life. Obviously, creating the U.S. Small Business Conference is no small task. You know, I didn't realize I was going to do a national conference, but, you know, and then having a magazine and a radio show, I'm not sure.
Come on, add some more to your plate. Come on, darling.
Well, the book, I got Incredible Business. It's a new book coming out this fall that I'm a part of, and I'm writing a couple of other books myself. But this, you know, when you talk about surrounding yourself with your top five or the people that, you know, support you the most, it's like the pillars of your network, you know. And I think when you talk about a sphere of influence or a circle of influence, when you think about networking and developing the long-term relationships. You know, you and I have connected over and over. You know, we're good friends. You know, I feel like I could call you at any, you know, at any time, and I think I probably have, and vice versa, you know, and you just never know where that person may be at. And when you're networking, there's something to be said about all the resources, anything you would ever need is in your professional network. So if you're going to be building one anyway, you know, it's kind of like I look at it, you know, as growing a garden, right? And so if you're going to be planting seeds for future, and, you know, why not put in some beautiful roses and, you know, these amazing, you know, shrubs and, you know, different things in your garden. And so when you're networking, it's the same concept, and you're kind of planting seeds and you're developing and growing your garden. And so the more you elevate and change, I mean, my sphere of influence has changed dramatically. And every time I get more involved or connect with, you know, incredible people like you, you know, things always change. And, you know, I think, you know, where they always talk about how you're 6 degrees of separation, I think it's more like 2 or 3, you know, because now I can call anybody in my network literally and say, who do you know that would be a good person that I need to connect with, or, you know, that has a service or a product that I'm looking for, and I can instantly get that answer. Whereas before, if you had a smaller network and you didn't have very many people to talk to, you know, if you just get up, go to work, come home, and then you're done, and, you know, you know 10 people or 20 or, you know, 300, you're still kind of limiting the resources that are available at your fingertips. So putting your book together probably took less time because you were able to connect with just the right people that could be your support system. So
I was amazed by that. When you're contributing to your network, obviously you're able to work your network. When people have just a collection of contacts, they're not going to be connected to that network. So when you're asking the question you just asked, who can you connect me with, it kind of falls on deaf ears because you haven't really done anything to work that network. And when you brought up the power of two earlier, I didn't spend a lot of time on that, but everything you're referring to is working your network and how you can help them so that when you reach out to them, you almost have a sales force or you have a human relation or a management team that are always there, unpaid, just to help you. And people don't realize that that is actually what they're bringing to their net worth, is when they're networking all these people and they're helping them all out, they're actually getting that loyalty, they're getting that followership, and they're getting that contribution right back.
Wow. It's really good stuff. Hey, Ken, tell me something. When you were creating these things, now whether it be, you know, writing the book or, you know, building Perfect Network or the Perfect World Network, any of those things that, you know, you've put a lot of time and energy and resources into, did you face any, like, obstacles or have any kind of challenges that you could share with us today?
Do you have enough time?
I know we only have an hour show, but
I'll tell you the perfect networker. It's funny that you can have all the answers in your head, and you can explain them, and people get it. But to actually code it, make it happen, deliver it on time, you know, without bugs, all that stuff. When I used the word nightmare before, I think 99% of people really miss the boat on when they take a challenge. If they just go past and keep going past and let those failures just keep accumulating, they will persistently and patiently get that success. And I will say that I could have quit a lot of times and we wouldn't be on the phone right now and we wouldn't know what the next step was going to be. But I have never, because I believe in what I'm doing, accepted that a challenge is a stop or it's going to be impossible. It's always just another thing I have to get past. But I'll just say that right from the very beginning, Perfect Network was so well received, we didn't know what to do. We were not ready for how well received it was. It went from like 10 to 100 right to 1,000 the first month. The platform got so shaky and unstable, it was crashing like crazy. It just was not ready for that type of activity. And just to kind of put things in perspective for you, believe it or not, when you have 1,000 people on a site, and they are really using the site and they're really active, it really feels like 10,000 or 30,000 or even as high as 100,000 people on the site, because most people go on a site, go off the site. They're not staying on the site. And what we had was we had a lot of activity and it was shaking the site up so much, but our Alexa numbers, for those people that may not know what Alexa is, it's a site that actually measures the activity that your site is producing via page views, impressions, logins, bounce rate, all this good stuff. And we were actually beating Twitter. We were beating Twitter at one point. Now, this was, in the inception of Perfect Networker, probably a good 4 months in, we were ranked in the top 60,000 sites in the world, and there's billions of sites. And Twitter was right around 64, 65,000. Now, Twitter's obviously had the money, it had the backing, it had the correct programming, the correct planning, everything. Because they took on the investors, they were able to deliver and keep going from 64,000 down to 40,000 down to 10,000. Now they're, you know, in the top 100. I think they might even be in the top 20 right now. But my point is, that is a major obstacle. And some people could throw the towel in and say, you know what, this is going to take too long. We don't have the resources. But doing it ground roots and just delivering what you need for people support. People will support your mission. So it's been a long road, and I think I think we're within a year of seeing being a major player in social networking.
That's incredible, and you know, listening to your experience and what you're talking about, you know, you shared things that I never really would have thought about. That, you know, gosh, you know, because my concept is, you know, you've got to put it together and you bring people to it. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, I hope to have, you know, a program that I can bring my network to that's a little different other than, you know, Accomplish Magazine and Accomplish Radio. Those are where my network is going right now. But if someone out there was to start building a networking platform, per se, or a membership-driven site, let's put it that way, what advice would you give them if they're just starting out?
They want to get a platform that I guess can handle, well, they got to figure out how many people they want to have on that platform. But our platform was supposed to be able to handle 250,000 people, and we were shaking it up at a couple thousand because that activity was so high. The power of contribution and the conversation was so crazy that we knocked the platform out. In fact, when we called the platform, the site that had given us the basics, they had never experienced a site that was using it to this extent. And so I don't have a complete answer for you, but Ning, which may not be the best solution, but you need a platform that can handle probably 10 times the amount of people you're going to bring on so that when if they want to stay a while, that it's not the site's not going to crash.
Yeah, I think most of the membership sites that are out there, they don't hang out, you know, all together on, you know, online at the same time so much as they do when you're building kind of this type of a system. You know, perhaps they're just, you know, creating a different type of membership program. Or, you know, like some of the chambers of commerce, you know, they have a membership site where they allow just their members to access the site, but their activity is probably, you know, nowhere near when you create a social networking platform, right? Because there's a little difference between like a membership site, like, you know, like I said, with like a chamber of commerce versus what you've built. And so there's a little bit of a difference there.
Well, you can build a mini social network platform inside of a LinkedIn or a Facebook and hopefully eventually a perfect networker. We are actually working towards making mastermind groups for chambers of commerce for, you know, individuals that can actually run their virtual masterminds right on the site of Perfect Networker. So not jumping into actually the financing and the service cost. I mean, when you get into the serving or hosting that someone like Facebook has, I wouldn't even want to think of, you know, what their server farm costs. I'm imagining it's millions per month. But it could be obviously a lot higher than that. So with that kind of activity, they need a lot of bandwidth. They need a lot of servers that are able to take that kind of traffic. I mean, it's funny what Facebook does in probably a minute, you know, most sites don't do in a lifetime.
Wow.
Just kind of put things in perspective.
Well, this is incredible. I mean, you just shared some insights that I personally never would have thought about because I haven't built anything quite like that. And, you know, for those of you in the audience, if you want to visit perfectnetworker.com to see what we're referring to and to join, you know, Perfect Networker and also Perfect World Network, you know, you want to talk a little bit about that real quick?
Sure. Perfect World Network is kind of, it's the way the book ends as, you know, a perfect networker needs to step beyond himself or herself in taking on a cause, being a leader of a community. And I didn't have a place really in Perfect Networker where that could exist. You're familiar with CEO Space?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, BNI, et cetera.
I'm a member.
Those communities are really amazing, but a lot of people don't know about those communities if they haven't been in the networking world long enough, or they're entrepreneurs but they're not really networking. So what I want to do is I want to create a site where I could invite the leaders of all these different communities to actually join a site and then share their mission, whether it be a membership, events, a cause, and have the other leaders in the Perfect World Network actually support that mission. So, for instance, let's say Susan G. Komen join Perfect World Network, and they're having an event right in St. Louis. They could do a search for what leaders are in St. Louis area, but more importantly, they could look for national associations like CEO Space and BNI and say, hey, can you let this everyone know that's in the St. Louis area that we're going to be having an event, and we'd like to have their participation, we'd like to have their support. And all of a sudden, they may have, instead of 300 people coming to that event, they may have literally, you know, 400, maybe 1,000 people come to the event, that know about it just because of the efficiency of a couple people making a couple phone calls or a blast.
Wow.
So
that's
I thought
incredible.
That was rich because I know how hard it is to send a message out to people you don't know, or to just, if you have 10,000 people in your network, it doesn't apply to everyone. So if you have leaders that actually have their niches, that those people can work together to help an event or another association be more successful. And I'm constantly getting called upon to help distribute information, so I thought, you know what, let's use all the leaders to help each other distribute information. That's pertinent.
I love that. You know, and I get a lot of requests as well, you know, and the more that you network, the more, you know, connected you tend to be, and more people are saying, you know, hey, can you share this with your network? And what people don't realize is sometimes when you have a huge network, you know, that it's not as easy to get the word out as some people may assume. And so, you know, that's another reason why I created Accomplish Magazine, because I had so many requests to, you know, share things with my network. And this was just the perfect vehicle that I chose to deliver those messages out there, whereas you've built Perfect World Network. Well, Ken, this has been incredible. And for people that want to learn more about that, they can go to perfectworldnetwork.com and, you know, look at what he has built and created there as well. And, you know, Ken, I love the idea, or I just recently found out, too, you shared with me that you're going to be a part of Goodfellas of Baltimore. And I thought we would share just a little bit about that real quick on the show, if that's okay with you.
Sure, and I'd like to formally invite you, because you are the leader of a community, to join Perfect World Network as Accomplish Radio or Accomplish Magazine or even both, because I think that all those leaders need to know about you.
Oh,
and
thank
mission.
You.
Love to have
thank
you.
I definitely have it on my list of things to join, and you know, even for the U.S. Small Business Conference, where it's, you know, a national conference, and you know, we support different nonprofits within our conference as well. So, thank you for that invitation. I appreciate that.
You're gonna have to be careful, Darlene, because you're a leader of too many communities. You can only join Perfect World Network as one community. So, if you have other, you know, co-leaders, I was, as you'd stated in the beginning of this introduction, I belong to several associations and I founded several of them. What I did was I gave it to the other founder as the leader and I became the second person.
That's a good idea.
If someone wants to get a couple of their communities onto the Perfect World Network, it is a free membership at this point, and they can, quote unquote, sneak another community in, but they have to have a leader that will step in and handle the communication.
Got it.
But to your very exciting question about Goodfellas of Baltimore, that was...
your reality TV show.
Well, I was on a trip that was taking me halfway around the world. I started in Tokyo, and while I was away on the 70-day journey, something was percolating in Baltimore. There was a gentleman named A.J. Ali, and had I not gone to a networking event that was simply a friend of mine saying, hey, we're having a little grill out for some of the members of a local networking group called NRG, I wouldn't have rekindled a very long relationship I had with AJ, and he's the guy who originated Goodfellas. Well, he hand-selected the six other members of Goodfellas by what kind of impact these entrepreneurs have in their philanthropic or just community effect, how well they're received in the community for making a difference. And so the TV show is kind of like an Entourage meets a Home Makeover. And I think he's gonna have a big hit with this, and I think he's going to be able to take this across the United States. I mean, there could be a Goodfellas of St. Louis. There could be a Goodfellas of L.A. This could really catch on big. In fact, I would like to see it go worldwide. Hmm. Goodfellas of Paris, Goodfellas in London. But because if you had seven guys, or whatever number of guys there were, that were entrepreneurs that were making a difference in a community, and the community supporting that type of movement, I just think it's unbelievable it could happen.
Absolutely. I love the picture, too. I joined your Facebook group and had a chance to see it, and I'm very, very excited for you. And I know it's going to be a huge success. And, you know, to have the people and the support in everyone's network, and I hope our audience looks for them. Now, how can they learn more about that? Or see
right now, there's a website that should be launched this month, but Facebook is the only place that they can really look at the fan page, see what we're about. Obviously, the more support we get, regardless of where in the world it's happening, this is kind of like the guinea pig project. If this one takes off, there could be a multitude of Goodfellow reality shows around the world. And I do think that that's where it's going to head.
Well, we're definitely going to support you every way we can, Ken.
And then Sassy, you know that there's going to have to be the Sassy Fellowettes.
Now that's cute. Now there could be, yeah, you're right. We could talk about that and see what could happen. Well, Ken, this has been just incredible. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk and to have you on Accomplish Radio and to hear what you've been working on and developing and creating and building. You know, is there, what's the best way for people to reconnect with you? Obviously, go to perfectnetworker.com, but is there anything else that you might want to share before we end our show?
Well, all my information is on Perfect Networker, but real simple, ken@perfectnetworker.com. But I do like people to come and talk to me on Facebook. I don't go to LinkedIn very often, and I wish you hadn't done that introduction because we would have had another 2 or 3 minutes to talk. You see how this works?
Well, we do have another couple of minutes, so please go ahead and share.
Well, anyone that would like to order the book from your show, I would give a 2-for-1 deal. And the reason for that is I would like people to have a kind of pay it forward or contribute to other people's success. So the retail book price is $24.95, and I would give 2 of those books, an extra book away for free to your audience. So all they have to do is mention they heard about it on this show, and of course they have to do it in a timely fashion. That's all.
Perfect.
And,
I love that.
I'm actually trying to do a project that I hope to talk to you about next year, near the end of the year, called the Centurion World Traveler Project. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people that are working themselves to death and hoping to make it to 65 to finally hit their bucket list to actually start working on the bucket list now and take them to 100 countries. I want to write a book about actually getting to 100 countries before you're 65. So
wow.
I'm up to 65 countries right now, and next month I'm going to 10 more. And that'll be 75, and I hope by next year, at the end of next year, I'll be at 100. But that'll be something that'll be an accomplishment off my bucket list that I'll be very happy to come back on the radio station for.
Oh, absolutely. Would love to hear how you've accomplished that because, you know, so many people, they don't even go after some of their dreams in this world. And, you know, I want to encourage our audience to not limit themselves. If there's something they want to do, just go and find a way to do it or, you know, put their mindset completely around what they want to create and what they want to accomplish. And somehow it's magic, you know, with a great network behind you and, you know, resources and connections and friends like Ken Roshan, you know, to be here, you can make anything come to life. And I just want people to understand that that is definitely something that they should, you know, focus on. And Ken, again, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much for being with us today. We are almost at the end of our program here. And
can I hit you with one more quote?
I'm sorry?
Can I hit you with one more quote?
Absolutely.
I really think that for your audience that wants to accomplish great things, I think a great question to ask themselves, which I've asked myself a lot of times, is what would you do if you knew that you couldn't fail? And I think that question will take you all the way.
What could you do if you knew you wouldn't fail?
Yeah, what would you
I
like?
I really like that.
You couldn't fail. Yep. Because
thank
you really
you
don't
so much,
fail.
Ken.
You only fail yourself, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's when you say that you're unstoppable that you actually accomplish what you said you were going to do.
Love it.
Well, it's really, it's
thank
really
you.
Great. Thank you, darling.
Oh, you're so welcome. And, you know, keep in touch. And, again, go and make sure you connect with Ken Roshan. And, again, thanks for being our guest on today's show for Accomplish Radio. We really appreciate your time and your words of wisdom. And to our audience, I just want you to make sure you mark your calendars every weekday from 10 a.m. Central until 11. And I really appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to our show today. And you can mark our show as one of your favorites. So hopefully you are at accomplishradio.com and you're able to see the little heart symbol that's on the little player for the show. Just go ahead and mark it as one of your favorites and make sure that you get reminders sent to you about all of our future shows. And I hope that you consider joining our Facebook group. Just go on to Facebook and search out Accomplish Magazine. And We've got a few other quick announcements here before we wrap up today's show. And if you have, if you'd like to have your business mentioned on Accomplish Radio Show, please visit AccomplishMagazine.com. We're now featuring some new radio spotlights. They're very affordable. It's a great way to highlight your business. You know, today's show is brought to you by the Chocolate Blues and Business Festivals. If you go to chocolatebluesandbusiness.com, you can actually see all of the upcoming events. They're held in several places throughout the country, and I believe the next one is coming up in Indy. So make sure you go to chocolatebluesandbusiness.com. While you're on AccomplishMagazine.com, make sure you sign up for our free subscription. The new issue is coming out this week. And I want to talk briefly about the U.S. Small Business Conference that's happening on September 10th through 12th in Dallas, Texas. And this really isn't your typical business conference. In fact, we bring together people that are well-established, very connected. You know, my goal is to introduce you to other people that have a large network. And in fact, we're hosting a special Business Connectors Networking Social on Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 in Dallas. And we want to recognize all of our nominees for the awards that we give out. In fact, for the whole month of July, we are looking for nominations for people that are the most influential business connectors, and we're looking for the best business connector in Dallas as well. But for America's most influential business connector, they can be located anywhere throughout the United States, and usually they're the type of people that go out of their way to make an introduction. They're the people that bring together communities. They're leaders of organizations. And they are always interested in supporting someone else. And they do these introductions and connections simply because they like to see someone become successful. So you can go on to USSmallBusinessConference.com and actually nominate someone. We really think it's time to give them some recognition, and we want to support them as well. So if you know of anyone, make sure you nominate them. In fact, Ken, I'm going to encourage our audience to nominate Ken because he is definitely a America's most influential business connector. And so I'm sure that we'll be receiving some information shortly. Thanks again for joining us today on Accomplish Radio. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, and I'm wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments.